Today, for Good Friday, I'm proclaiming the Word of God from Romans, chapter 5, verses 6 to 11. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, we will be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life? But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we meditate on your word, fill us with your Spirit so that we may recognize your love, so that we may live innocent before you, and reconciled with you and one another. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we are remembering the suffering and the death of Jesus of Nazareth, the son of a Jewish carpenter who was put to death by the Roman governing authorities outside the city of Jerusalem in the first century. Today we pause from the routine of our daily lives and remember that this innocent man was betrayed and abandoned by his friends, that he was mocked and spat upon, that he was flogged and crowned with thorns, that he was nailed to a cross of wood, and that even after he died, a spear was thrust into the side of his corpse. We remember, in other words, an ugly act of mockery and violence. And yet, as people of faith, we know that this death on a cross reveals to us a beauty that has an attractive power like no other. Because the cross of Christ reveals to us the love of God. Now today from God's word, I will proclaim the love of God for us, sons of Adam and daughters of Eve. Then I will proclaim our justification through Jesus' blood, that we approach God as people declared innocent by him. And then I will proclaim the reconciliation we have as a gift from God, that we can live in renewed harmony with God and with each other. Let's hear first of all of God's love for us. Here's how the Romans reading begins. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now clearly St. Paul here is talking about not what we human beings can do for God, but what God has done for us human beings. About what he in love has done for us in our spiritually weak and helpless state, in our natural ungodly state, estranged from God and hostile to his word and will. Christ, St. Paul says, died for the ungodly. He gave his life for those who had no claim on his friendship. And listen to how St. Paul goes on. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God proves his love, St. Paul says, and this is a message that we need to hear. Because as we look at creation, it can seem that God is hostile After all, there is great beauty in nature, but nature is also red in tooth and claw. We see the blood and the violence in the animal kingdom. More than this, if we consider God's commands according to our inborn hostility to God, then it can seem that God is worse than tyrannical. After all, from a sinful human point of view, God forbids us from doing what we would so often like to do. And he threatens us with dreadful punishments if we fail to live up to the fullness of the law, a law that, according to our fallen human nature, we have no hope of fulfilling. It can seem that God, from this point of view, is no better than a commandant of some divine concentration camp, with us as inmates, as some prominent atheists have claimed. And yet, what tyrant would give the life of his own son to save not even his own people, but his enemies? God shows that he is love. God shows that he is not a tyrant in giving his own son to pay the debt for our sin, to wash us clean, to make us fit for life in his kingdom, and to declare us innocent of any charge against us. The love that God shows, in other words, is a self-sacrificial love that wills our good, that does not give us what we deserve, but freely gives us what we could never earn. Now, God's word makes it clear that it is Jesus' blood, his self-sacrificial death, that gives us innocence before God. And this is the second point of today's sermon. Listen to what St. Paul writes. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. Justification language is courtroom language. And to understand what St. Paul is saying here, and to understand this day, Good Friday, it's good for us to have in our mind's eye the picture of our courtroom, with us in the dock and God in the judge's seat. St. Paul is saying that Christ's suffering and death gives us a declaration of innocence in this courtroom. Now, Christian people throughout the ages have meditated on how this works, on how Christ's suffering and death atones for human sin, about how Jesus' blood makes us innocent before God. And there are many answers to these questions, some more scriptural, some less so. And they're worth thinking about as we mature in the life of faith. But what we can be sure of is what Scripture proclaims. It's that Jesus' blood does indeed do this, justify us, make us innocent before God, that it puts us right with God. Now today I encourage you to meditate this, to consider what is being said here. That because of the blood of Christ, your Heavenly Father welcomes you. Your Heavenly Father approves of you. That you can come to your Heavenly Father as a child comes to a dearly loved parent. This is the message that the devil does not want anyone to hear, because it is at the heart of the truth of the gospel. That we do not need to flee from God, or cover ourselves up, or hide, but rather that each one of us, as dearly loved children, can turn to our Father, knowing that we have his approval, that he will listen, that he will help us in our need. Listen to this message, because it's filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's this message that frees us to live a new way. It's this message that has power that no human can gainsay. When we hear, when we trust, we know that we've encountered the truth, and that the truth is a person, Jesus Christ himself. This takes us to the third point of today's sermon. In Christ Jesus, through his suffering and death, we are reconciled to the Father and share in a new way of life in Christ. This is what St. Paul writes. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. Now let's think for a moment what the word reconciliation means, because it's not a word that we use much in everyday spoken English. Let's suppose somebody wrongs us. They take something that we own, or they treat us rudely, or they speak badly about us behind our back. And let's suppose that we, reflecting on God's kindness to us, don't hold these things against them, but from our heart, forgive them. Treat them as if they are innocent of having done anything wrong against us. From our point of view, in biblical language, they are justified. They are innocent as far as we are concerned. But are they yet living reconciled with us? Are we yet in friendship? Well, what if they don't want our friendship? Or what if they claim they didn't do anything wrong? Or what if they claim, yeah, they did do what they did, and they're going to do it all over again because they don't like us? Or what if they think that our forgiveness is merely a strategy of revenge, that there's some ulterior motive? In these cases, there would be forgiveness on our side, but not reconciliation, not yet friendship. But St. Paul is saying that through the death of Christ, we are reconciled to God, that we are friends again with him. And that's because as we see the love that God has for us, we are free to admit that we have broken God's laws. As we trust that God declares us innocent, we have power from the Spirit to change the way we live. And as we see how God brings us together as his people and grows us in love for each other, we learn that God does not want to take revenge on us, but share his own nature with us, so that we may truly live as sons and daughters of God, people made in his image, reconciled in Christ, and raised up with him to new life. And listen to how St. Paul ends our reading for today. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. For St. Paul, the opposite of boasting is being ashamed. But as St. Paul said at the beginning of Romans, he's not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God to save. And this salvation is revealed most especially in Christ, compared to whom every earthly boast is sheer vanity. Indeed, today we will sing this song. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. Anything that we would present to God as reasons for him to accept us, we are now free to let go of. Christ's suffering and death, his blood on the cross. This is the cost of human sin. And this alone shows the love of God brings us the gift of innocence and reconciles us to the Father. So on this day, let us receive the message of the cross and see in the cross the beauty of God revealed, a beauty that draws us to God. And as we are drawn to the cross, we are drawn together with people from every tribe and language and nation, so that we may love each other and so that God's name may be glorified in heaven and on earth. May God achieve this by his Spirit among us. In Jesus' name, amen.